B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph. We're going to start from the very top line of the Omud. We saw in the previous sugya on Daf Lamed Omud Beis where the Gemara discussed the shir, the song that they would sing, the Levim would sing, whilst the korbanos were being brought on Rosh Hashanah, on the Shacharis, the Korban Tomet Shel Shachar, the Musaf, the Korban Tomet Shel Beinu Arba'im, and that was discussed previously. But we know that every day of the week, a regular weekday, they would bring the Korban Tomid twice a day. What shir would they sing? So that's what the Gemara of the Braisa is going to discuss now. Says the Braisa, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and we're later going to see Rabbi Nechemya's got a slight difference. In one detail, Rabbi Nechemya argues with Rabbi Akiva. Let's first see what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva says, Barishain, on the first day of the week on Sunday, Maho Yo'imrim, what song would they sing? They would sing the Perek in Tehillim, in Perek of Dalad, Lashem Ha'oretz Umaloya, to Hashem is the land and everything that is fullness. Al Shem, and why did they used to read this Perek of Dalet on the first day of the week? Al Shem Shekono, because on the first day of creation, Hashem, He created, He acquired the world, Vehikne, and He did that in order to give it over to the people who are going to live on the world, Veshalit Bo'ilomoy, and on that first day, He was actually the only ruler, the only power in the world. He's always the only power, but afterwards, from day two, He created other beings. But on day one, there were no other beings, there was just Him and the world that He created. Basheni, on the second day of the week, Mao Yoimrim, what shir would they say on Mondays? And this is the Perek Memches, the Posuk, the Perek that says, Godel Hashem, Hashem is very great, Umhulal Mo'id, and very praised. And what is that alluding to what Hashem did on the second day of creation? And what was that? Al Shem Shechilek Maisov, He separated that He had created, the Rakia, the skies, He separated the skies. We know that there was a Rakia separated between the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim. There was waters before, and Hashem separated them with the sky. Umolach Alein, and He reigned over them. And He did that on day two. That's why on Mondays we say this Perek. Bashlishi, on Tuesdays, how you Omrim, what Perek did they say? They said the Pasuk, the Perek Pei Beis, that says, Mizmor L'Osof Elohim, Nitzav Hashem stands by Adas Kale in the divine assembly. And why do we read that? Al Shem Shegile Oretz B'Chochmosi, because on this third day Hashem exposed the land with His wisdom, V'Heichin Tevil, and He prepared the world, the earth, La'adosoi, for His assembly. And He did that on the third day of creation, which is why we say this Perek on Tuesdays. Baravi, on Wednesdays, what Perek do we say? Hoyo Oimrim, Perek Tzadik Dalet, Kel Nukomois Hashem, Hashem is a God of vengeance, Kel Nukomois Sefia, Al Shem, why would we say a Perek that's referring to Hashem's vengeance? Al Shem, because on the fourth day of creation, Sheboro Chama Ulevono, Hashem created the sun and the moon, Va'osid Lipora, and He's ultimately going to punish Mevdem, those who worship the sun and the moon. And therefore, on the fourth day of creation, which is the day that the sun and the moon were created, we refer to Hashem as a God of vengeance. Bechamishi, on Thursdays, what Perek do we say? Hoyoimrim, and this we already discussed on the Flamud Amud Beis, we say Perek Pe Aleph, and there the Pasuk says, Harninu Lelukim Uzeinu, will sing joyously to Hashem, our might. Hariu Leluke Yaakov. Why? Why do we refer on Thursdays to the joyous singing to Hashem? Al Shem Shebora Oifes V'Dogim, because on the fifth day of creation, Hashem created the myriad of birds and fish, which are countless different species. L'Shabeach Shemoi, anybody who sees so many different species, he wants to give praise to Hashem who created them. Bashishi, on Fridays, how you Oimrim, they would say, Hashem Moloch, that Hashem reigned, Geus Lovish, He donned grandeur, Al Shem Shegomar Malchusoi, because on the sixth day of creation, that's when Hashem completed the world and He completed His kingdom, Umolach Aleim, and He reigned over them. And that's what happened on Friday. Bashvi, how you Oimrim, What shir would they say on Shabbos Kodesh? They would say, Mizmer Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. This is Perek Tzadik Beis, that this is the song of the day of Shabbos. Why? What's the seventh day of creation got to do with Shabbos? L'yem shekulei Shabbos, because our Shabbos Kodesh alludes to and is similar to a day which is going to be a day of entire rest, a day where all activity is going to stop in the world, a day which, so to speak, the world in its present limitations is going to become destroyed and is going to be a new type of life. And that is a resting of the present type of creation is going to be on that seventh day, which corresponds to the 7,000th year, Imrit Hashem. That was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya follows Rabbi Akiva all the way to the whole Braisa, but he's got one question. Ma rov chachomim lachloik bein haprokim halolu? Why is it that the first 6 days of creation, the first 6 days of the week, we say a perek in Tehillim that alludes to and corresponds to what happened during the days of creation? When it comes to Shabbos, it doesn't speak of anything about what Hashem did on that Shabbos. It speaks about something that's going to be a future sabbatical, but not to the seventh day of creation. Why would that be? Elo, Rabbi Nechemya argued with Rabbi Akiva, and he's going to now repeat the whole Braisa like Rabbi Akiva until it came to Shabbos. He's going to give a different explanation. We're not going to translate the words again. We'll just read them. Elo, he says as follows. Barishoin, shekonoi vehikne v'shalit v'ilomoi, basheini shechilek maisov, molach aleem, bashlishi shegile oretz b'chochmosoi, vehichin tevi la'adosoi, barovii sheboro chamo levono v'osid lipora me'evdeen, v'chamishi sheboro ifeis v'dogim l'shabeach l'shmoi, b'shishi shegomar malchusoi. All these are all the things that happened during creation, and they correspond to the prokim that we say by the Shir Shel Yoim, when they would bring the Korban Tomid. And Beshvi, this is where Nehemia argues, on Shabbos we say Mizmor Shir Yoim HaShabbos, not because of a future sabbatical, the 7,000 years, rather Al Shem Sheshovas. It's a Mizmor Shir Yoim HaShabbos, because on the seventh day of creation, so to speak, Hashem rested. The Kamifligi Bidur of Ketina, the Gemara says that they're arguing regarding a different issue regarding Rav Ketina. And the real discussion here is whether the sabbatical is going to be a single 1,000 years, because 1,000 years corresponds to a day of creation, or is that sabbatical that La'osid Lovoi, it's going to be a Yom Shekulei Shabbos, is that maybe going to be a 2 days or 2,000 years? If it's 2,000 years, then Mizmo Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, which is just 1 day, cannot be corresponding to those 2 years or 2,000 years of sabbatical. Rav Katina held, and Rabbi Akiva was obviously following this, that Shita Alfish Nihava, that there was going to be 6,000 years which we're living in now that correspond to the 6 days of creation where there is activity as we know it. Hava Alma, the world's going to exist. V'chad Charuv, and then there's going to be a different type of existence for a single 1,000 years. Shenemer, as it says, V'niskov Hashem levade, Bayoim Ahu, on that day Hashem alone is going to be exalted, and there's going to be a single day, or a corresponding to a single day, which is 1,000 years, of that Yom Shekulei Shabbos. But Omar Abaya argued, and this is what Rabbi Nechemya held, that Trei Chorov, there's going to be 2,000 years where there's going to be a Yom Shekulei Shabbos. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, that the world and we will be revived after a 2 days, which is 2,000 years of Yom Shekulei Shabbos. Since it's 2,000 years of Yom Shekulei Shabbos, then the Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, referring to a single day of Shabbos, cannot be referring to those years in the future. It must be going back on the days, the seventh day of creation, which was a single day, Al Shem Sheshavas, because Hashem rested from creation. Continues the Gemara, Ubemusafei de Shabsa, with the Korban Musaf of Shabbos, what shir would they say when they offer it up on the Mizbeach? Maho Yoimrim, Omer of Onon. Rav Onon says, Omer of Onon, Barova Omarav, Haziv Lecho. And this is an abbreviation of 6 words, beginning of 6 psukim in Parshas Ha'azinu. If you look in Shiras Ha'azinu, Parshas Ha'azinu has the beginning is a Shira, and the last psukim are not part of the Shira. So the Shira itself is set split into six, and that's the abbreviation mentioned here. You've got Ha'azinu Hashemayim V'Oretz, that's the first one, Zechorim Yisraelim, the second one, Yarkivehu Albomos Yoretz, the third, Vayar Hashem Vayinotz, the fourth, Lulei Kas Oyev Ogur, the fifth, and Kiyodin Hashem Amoy is the sixth. And from there until the end of the Shira. So that is what they would say. That means the Parashas Ha'azinu was split into six, and each part is a Shir. Va'omer v'chonon barabba omarav, k'derech shechilkim kan, chalukim kan, in the same way as the Ha'azinu Shira is split into six, as we just mentioned regarding the Shira that they would sing during the Musaf of Shabbosos, then kach halukim b'beis haKnesses, so too on Shabbos when we read the Parashas Ha'azinu, then the first six aliyos, the first six people called to the Torah, they each read these six parashas we just mentioned, and the seventh one, the Shvi, reads from the end of the Shira till the end of the parasha. What Shir did the Levim say on the Korban Tomichel Bein Arbaim on Shabbos? Omer of Yechanon, they would say, and again, this is a three parts, Oz Yoshir, this is the beginning of the first half of the Shiras Hayom in Parshas Beshalach, where it says there, Oz Yoshir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Es HaShira Hazois, etc. And then there was a second part of the Shira, Umicha Moicha, where it says, Micha Moicha Be'ilim Hashem, that's from Pasuk Yud Aleph, until the end of the Shira. And the third part is Oz Yoshir, is a different Oz Yoshir in Parshas Chukas, where it speaks about the Shiras HaBe'er, Oz Yoshir Yisrael Es HaShira HaZois, Ali Ve'er Enu Lo. Iboilu, now the Gemara is asking a question. Hani kulhu b'chad shabta omri luhu? We saw that the Musaf of Shabbos has six parts of Ha'azinu. Mincha of Shabbos, the Korban Tomichel Bein Arbaim, has three parts. Did they say all these parts? I mean, every Shabbos Musaf, all six parts. And Rashi says they would determine, they would separate and define each part with different types of tunes, different types of instruments that they would play during and between each part. But they would say all these parts every Shabbos. Oy dilma kol Shabbos of a Shabbos to Omri Chad. Or maybe no, they had a cycle. On one Shabbos they said the first Psukim, Ha'azinu Hashemayim. The next Shabbos Musaf they would say Zechorim Ois Olam. The next Shabbos Musaf Yarkivei Albomos Yoretz. And the same regarding the Korban Tomichel Bein Arbaim, that one Shabbos they would say Oz Yoshir Moshe, the next Shabbos they would say Micha Moicha, the next Shabbos they would say the Oz Yoshir Yisrael Es HaShira Hazois, and they would just go around a cycle that way. That's the question of the Gemara. Toshma, we're going to bring proof from a Braisa. D'tanya, Omer Reb Yosi, Ad Sharishoino Imeres Achas, whilst the cycle of the Korban Musaf of Shabbos does a single cycle, Shnia, the second cycle, the one of the Korban Tomichel Bein Arbaim on Shabbos, Chizeres Shtayim, does two cycles. Shema Mino, it's clear from this Braisa that Kol Shabbos of Shabbos, Omer Chad, that they would only say one part on each week, and since there were six parts for the Korban Musaf, and only three parts for the Korban Tomichel Bein Arbaim, so therefore it took twice as long to finish the cycle of the Musaf, then of the Korban Tomichel Bein Arbaim, Shema Mino, so that's proof that they would only say one parasha each time, not all of them. Continues the Gemara. And since we saw in our Mishnah on the Flamed Omid base, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takona because the Sanhedrin moved to Yavne, from Yerushalayim, so we're going to discuss now how all this worked. Omer of Yehuda bar Idi Omer of Yechonon. Eser masois nos oshchina. By the destruction of the stages of destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina was exiled and went on 10 different journeys, each time moving further away from its base. Mikroyim, we're going to learn that out from Psukim. Ukenegdon, and correspondingly, Golso Sanhedrin, the big Sanhedrin of 71 Dayanim, was exiled at the end of the Beis HaMikdash Hasheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, Migmora, and that's from an oral tradition that's not learned from Psukim. So the Brice is first going to explain Eser Masois Noso Shchino, the 10 journeys, the 10 legs of the journey of the Shchina, Mikroi, learning out from Psukim. So first, in the time of Yecheskel, the Shechina went mikapoires, from the kapoires, which was the cover of the orin, lekruv, onto one of the kruvs, That means we know the Kruvim are angelic type of forms, and there were two sets. There was one set made by Moshe Rabbeinu that was carved with the lid of the Orin and stood on top of the Orin. And the time of Shlomo HaMelech, he had another set of Kruvim made that stood one on the north, on the right, one on the south of the existing Orin. So the Shekhinah went from the Kapeires onto one of those Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech in the time of Yecheskel. And then in our Gemara it says, Omikruv lekruv, but Rashi was not geirus that, because then there's going to be 11 legs here of the journey, not 10. The next was Mikruv lemifton, that the next point in time we'll soon see in Psukim. And all we're going to see in the Psukim is that the Shekhinah went on these journeys from stage to stage, and the Gemara takes it for granted that the Shekhinah moved in order, in that from on top of the Orin where it started, all the way out. So the next step was Mikruv lemifton, from that kruv that Shlomo made to the threshold of the Bais, which is the threshold of the Ulam. And then the next step was Mimifton, from the threshold Lechotzer to the area outside the Ulam, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. And the next step was Mimichotzer lamizbeach. It went from the place Bein Ulam lamizbeach, the Shekhinah went onto the Mizbeach. Mizbeach lagag, and from the Mizbeach it went up onto the roof. Umigag lechoima, and from the roof it went onto the choima of the Azara. Umichoima, and from the wall of the Azara it went leir, it went to Yerushalayim. Umiir, and from Yerushalayim it went lahar, it went to Har HaZeisim, which was on the east of Yerushalayim. Umihar, and from Har HaZeisim lemidbar, the Shekhinah went to the wilderness. Umimidbar also v'yashua b'mekoima, and from the wilderness the Shekhinah went up and sat in its place, in its original place. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Eilech, I will go, Ashuva el mekoimi, I will return to my place. And now we're going to see where the Psukim allude to this. Mikapoires lekruv, the first few stages that were very, very close by, and these were small stages. The Shekhinah was still hoping that Klal Yisrael would do tshuva, and the Shekhinah would not have to move further away. So Mikapoires lekruv, I mean, Rashi actually says that soon, when it says from the ir to the from Yerushalayim to Har HaZeisim, then Rashi just mentions that all these stages, they were small stages, because Hashem was hoping that Klal Yisrael would do tshuva before it was too late. So the Psukim go as follows: Mikapoires lekruv, umikruv lekruv, umikruv lemifton. Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'noyadeti." And I have set my meeting place, or avnaadati lecha sham v'dibarti itcha me'al kapoires umi bein akruvim ashal aroina eidos ashal eisa shatzav ve'oischa el bnei Yisrael. So you see from there that the original place was on the kapoires. Uchsiv, and it says in another pasuk that, and this is the next stage where it went to the kruv. The pasuk says vayirkav al kruv, that he mounted onto the kruv, vayoif, and he flew, vayera al kanfei ruach. So that's the next place, the place closest to the kruvim, to the kapoires, to the area on top of the orin, was the kruv, which was this kruv that Shlomo HaMelech had made. Uchsiven, it says in yet another pasuk, uchvoide lekei Yisrael, and the glory of the Hashem of Klal Yisrael, Nale ascended me'al kruv, from on top of this kruv, ashehoya olov, which is where the Shekhinah was, El Miftan Abayis, to the threshold of the Bayis. Vayikra le'ish alavush abadim, ashekeses ha'sefer b'mosnov. So you see there the three psukim that tell us that the Shekhinah was me'ala kapeires, and then on the kruv, and then on the miftan. Or mi'miftan nechotzer, and from the threshold to the courtyard, which we said was the area bein ha'ulam lamizbeach. Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, Vayorom kvoid Hashem me'ala kruv, al miftan Habayis, Vaimole Habayis Ese Onon, and the house was filled with a cloud, Vahechotzer Molo Es Noiga Kved Hashem, and the courtyard was filled with the glow of the glory of Hashem. And in this pasuk it says explicitly that it went from the Mifton to the Chotzer. Umichotzer Lamizbeach, there's another pasuk that tells us that the Shekhinah left from the Chotzer and went from the area Bein Ulam LaMizbeach onto the Mizbeach. Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Ro'isi Eis Hashem, and I saw Hashem Nitzov HaLamizbeach, that was standing on the Mizbeach. And then there's another, and then Mizbeach Lagag, and then the Shechina went from the Mizbeach to the roof, to Chsiv. It says in the Pasuk, Toiv lo sheves al pinas gag. It's better to dwell on the corner of the roof, me'eshes midyonim ubeis chover, rather than being together with people who are doing averus down in the Beis HaMikdash. Migag lachoyma, and then the Shechina went from the roof to the wall of the Azara. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Koihir ani, Rehine Hashem Nitzov, Hashem was standing al Choymas Anoch on the straight wall, Uveyode Anoch. And then Michoymo Leir, and then from the walls of the Azara, the Shechina went to Yerushalayim. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Koil Hashem, the voice of Hashem, Loir Yikro, is calling to the people in the city. Umeir Lehar, and from Yerushalayim, the Shechina went to the Har HaZeisim. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayal Kvoid Hashem, the glory of Hashem rose up, from amidst the city, and stood on the mountain, which was Asher Mikedem Leir, the mountain in the east of Yerushalayim, and that is the Har HaZeisim. And then the Shechina went from the Har HaZeisim to the wilderness. The Chsiv says in the Pasuk, Toiv Sheves Be'eretz Midbar, it's better to dwell in the wilderness, Me'eshes Midyonim Makas, than to be amongst the people who are doing Averis. Umimidbar also v'yoshlo b'mekoyma, and from the wilderness the Shechina went up, back to its place, to its source, to Chsiv, Eilech, I will go, Oshuva el mekoymi, I will go back to my place, v'goymer, etc. As we saw before. Omer Rabbi Yechanon says that Shisho Chadoshim nis'akva Shechino l'Yisrael b'midbar, before the Shechina went up to its original place, the Shechina waited in the wilderness for 6 months. Shema Yachzur b'tshuva, maybe Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Kiven Shalei Chazru, and once it was clear they were not going to repent, Omar, then the Shechina said, Tipach Atzmon, then the very essence will suffer agony, Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Ve'ene Roshoim Tichleno, the eyes of the Roshoim will look with longing, umonois ovad minahen, and a haven will be denied from them, v'sikvosom, and their hope, mapach nefesh, will be turned to agony. Or kenegdon, and as the Gemara said, that corresponding to the 10 legs of the journey of the Shechina away from the Beis HaMikdash, in the first Beis HaMikdash, so too Golso Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, the big Beis Din of 71 Dayonim, were exiled 10 times at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. Migmora, and we know that from an oral tradition, that the places were as follows. Milishkas Hagozis, they were first positioned in the Lishkas Hagozis, called the Chamber of the Cut Stones, Lachanut. From there they went to a Chanuyos, a type of a shopfront, which was built on Har HaBayis. And from that point, they were no longer judging Dine Nefoshes, life and death matters, because the amount of murderers had increased, and therefore they were not judging the Dine Nefoshes. We'll see more about this in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Aleph. Umichanois, from these shops, Yerushalayim, to the city of Yerushalayim, Umiyushalayim Liyavne, and from Yerushalayim they went to Yavne in the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and as we saw in the Mishnah on the Flamad Omid Beis, or Miyavne Le'usha in the time of Rabban Gamliel, then the Sanhedrin followed its Nasi, Rabban Gamliel at the time, to Usha, or Miusha Le'Yavne, from Usha they exiled back to Yavne, or Miyavne Le'usha, and then they exiled from Yavne back to Usha in the days of Rabban Shimon, the son of Rabban Gamliel, or Miusha Le'Shafram, they went to a place of Shafram, Mishafram Le'Beis Sha'orim, in the days of Rebbe, they went from Shafram to the Beis Sha'orim, and from Beis Sha'orim Litzipuri, Umitzipuri Litveria, in the days of Antoninus, the Sanhedrin went to Tveria, and that was the last and final step of the journey of the Sanhedrin. Utveria Mukom Mikulon, the deepest exile of all these 10 was there, going down to Tveria, Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Veshofalt, and you will have sunk down, Me'eretz Tedaberi, and you're going to speak from the ground, Umeofor Tishach Imroseich, Vahoyo Ka'oiv Me'oretz, Koilech Umeofor Imroseich Tetzafseif. Rebbe Elazar says, Shesh Golus, that he's going to bring a Pasuk that it seems in the Pasuk that the Sanhedrin only went on 6 exiles, not on 10 exiles. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki heishach yoishvei morim. Because Hashem brought down those that dwell high, kiryon iskova, in an exalted city. Yashpileno, Hashem lowered it. Yashpilo ad oretz, lowered to the ground. Yagieno ad ofar, and they were brought to the dust. And if you look in this pasuk, there's six parts. There's the kiheishach, yoishvei morim is one. Kirya niskova is one. Yashpileno, another one. Yashpilo ad oretz, another one. Yagieno, another one. Ad ofar is another one. We have six terms here, which alludes to the six stages of the exile of the Sanhedrin. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Mishom asidin nigoil," that the ultimate, the geula, the redemption, is going to be destined to start from the place where the exile finished, which was in Tveria. From Tveria, the geula is going to start. Shenemer, it says in the pasuk, "Hisnari me'ofar, shake yourself from the dust. Kumi, arise, shvi, and sit." And the geula is going to start from Tveria. Continues the next Mishnah, Omer Yeshua ben Korcho, Va'oid Zois Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is the sixth takona of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Shafilu Roish Beizdin Bekol Mokim. We've learned on Daf Chav Dalet that the main Kiddush HaChodesh was done by the head of the Beizdin. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that if for whatever reason the Roish Beizdin, the head of the Beizdin, is not present in the place of the assembly where all the Dayanim are, Shelo yu edim holchim elo lemokim avad, we do not trouble the edim to have to go to the place wherever the Rosh Beis Din is. Rather, we tell the edim, you go to where the assembly of the Beis Din is, they will receive the witness, the testimony of the new month, and they will be Mekadosh the Chodesh, the Sanhedrin. Without the Rosh Beis Din, will be Mekadosh the Chodesh. Without the Rosh Beis Din, you don't need to go to him. Says the Gemara, we just saw in the Mishnah that the Edim were not required to run after the Dayan, the Rosh Beis Din, to wherever he is. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai decreed. Hahi itza, that was this woman, de izmenuha ledino kameida amemer, where somebody called her to for litigation, to a din Torah, before amemer, who was the Dayan, benarodoi, in the place of narodoi. Ozal amemer, for whatever reason, Amemer went l'mechoiza, to a different place, to the place of mechoiza. V'lei ozlo basrei, and this woman didn't follow Amemer to mechoiza. She was where she was, she didn't follow him. And because there was some contempt of court, she didn't follow and she didn't come to the Beis Din, Kosav, then Amemer wrote against her, psicha, a bill of excommunication, ilavo, against her, because she didn't come to the Beis Din. Ravashi asked Amemer, did we not just learn in the Mishnah, filu Roish Beis Din b'chol mokim, even if the Roish Beis Din travels to any other place, shelo yu edim oilchim elo lemokim avad, that we don't trouble the edim to go to where the Beis Din is, to where the head of the Beis Din is, if the head of the Beis Din goes away? Why are you holding it against this woman that she didn't follow you to Mechoza? She doesn't have to. Omarle, Samemer answered back to Ravashi, Hana Milil Inyan Eidus HaChodesh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only said that regarding the testimony of the new month. The Im came, because if we trouble these witnesses to follow the Rosh Beis Din to wherever he is, Nimtes Machshilam, then there's going to be some stumbling block for him for next time, La'osid Lova, in the future. He's going to neglect coming to give witness. He's going to say, I'm going to come to the place of the assembly, and they're going to tell me the Rosh Beis Din is in some place else. I'm going to have to run after him. I'm not bothering going. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that the Edim of the Kiddush HaChodesh, we don't trouble them, and they just come to the Mokim Havad, where the assembly is, and that's okay. Aval Hocha, but in any other case where there's a litigation, a money issue, Eved Lo Yveleish Malve, the Pasuk writes that a debtor is a slave to the creditor. And therefore, this woman who seems to be in this bracket, the Mefarshim explain why she should be in this bracket of Eved Lo Yveleish Malve, but she's got to follow whoever she owes money, whoever's claiming against her, she's got to follow them and follow the Beis Din to wherever they are. That was the sixth takona mentioned in the Mishnah. And now there's another takona, Tonu Rabbonon. This is not in the Mishnah here. Ein Kohanim Roshoim Lalois Besandaleim Leduchon. When the Kohanim go up on the platform to do Birchas Kohanim, they're not allowed to go up with their wearing any types of shoes. And the Gemara in Sota is going to explain, in Daf Mem, explains why that should be the case, because they might in the middle sit down to try and tie their laces, tie their shoes, and then if they're sitting down, people will think that they're not doing the Birchas Kohanim. They might think the reason they're not doing Birchas Kohanim is something to do with some flaw in the family. Either way, the Kohanim who go to do Birchas Kohanim must not be wearing their sandals, their shoes. And this is one of the 9 takonos which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. Shista haipirka. We saw 6 in the Mishnayos in this perek. We saw 6 in this perek. As we saw on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Shall you token b'kol mokim shesh Beis Din, Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, anywhere where you've got a Beis Din, they can blow the shofar. That's 1 in this perek. On Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, we had 2 in the Mishnah there in this perek. One is that lulav is, they will shake lulav everywhere for 7 days on Sukkos, and also that Yom Hanaf, Kulay Osor, we learned about that on Daf Lamed. And then we had another one on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that there would be Mekabel Eidos HaChodesh the whole day, even after the time of the Korban Tomichel Ben Arbaim, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, where there was no longer a Korban Tomichel Ben Arbaim. That was another one, that's the 4th one in this perek. And then we had another one on the top of this Amud, where he says that the Edim do not need to follow the Rosh Beis Din to the Beis Vad. And then we had this other one here of Eina Kohen and Moshoim Lalis B'Sandalim L'Duchon. So that's what you had 6 here. And we had V'chodo de Pirka Kama. We had 1 on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis in the Mishnah in the first Perik of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where we said there that the Edim, the witnesses that come to give, to testify on the new month, that they are Mechal only on the months of Nisan and Tishri, they're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to come and give testimony. That was on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. So we have in total 7 so far. We're still short of 2. The Mizvachoda de Pirka Kama, 1 of the first Pirik, V'idoch, where's number 8? The Tanya we learnt in a Braisa, in Maseches Krisus, Gerushin is Gair, Bizman Azeh. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was Alocha that when somebody is Nizgair, he converts to Judaism, then he's got to bring a certain korbonus, and in Krisus Daf Tes Amud Aleph, we're going to learn more about this. The question is, Bizman Azeh, nowadays that we can't bring the korbonus, but we do accept Gairim, we do make converts, what should he do? Tzorich Sheyafrish Roiva, the Braisa says that he's got to separate a quarter of a shekel, which is a half a dinar, which is the amount that these birds of this korban have to be worth. Lekinoi, for his set of birds that he needs to bring. And he puts the money aside. In case the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built in his days, he's going to use that money to bring his korbonis. Omer Shimon ben Elazar, Kva nimno le Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai already decided, ubitlo, that he said that the Gerim should not separate this coin, mipnei atakola, because there could be a takola, a problem could come of it. Because if you have a coin in your house which has been designated for a korban, it's hektish. And if you, chas v'shalom, use that coin for anything else, there's going to be an is of me'ila. And since they did not want to people to, by mistake, have benefit from coins that belong to Hegdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, don't separate any coins for any korbonis. Ve'idoch, where's the 9th takona of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Plukta der Papa of Nachman by Yitzchok, that's Machlokes HaMeroim, what the 9th one was. And because we're now going to see, the Papa and Rav Nachman by Yitzchok are going to bring sources which of 2 takonas, but it's not so clear, it's not explicit that it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And that's what they were arguing about. Rav Papa Omar Kerem Ravai. We know the Zalocha of Ravai, the 4th year of the first 3 years of a fruit tree, one's not allowed to have any benefit from the fruits. The 4th year, the fruits have the same halochas as Maisa Sheni, that they are Kodesh, they have to be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten Betara in Yerushalayim. And the halocha of Ravai of the 4th year is on all fruit trees, but we're going to be discussing the vineyard in specific here. That's the Kerem, the vineyard, Ravai of the 4th year. There's some takona there. We'll soon see what it is. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar Loshen Shel Zohiris. There was some takana regarding the strip of red wool that was associated to the korban soyer la Azazel, the goat that was thrown over the Azazel mountain. There was some strip of red wool which changed color in a good year when Hashem atoned for Klal Yisrael, and it didn't change color; it stayed red on a bad year. And we're going to see the some takana related to that strip of wool, and which, according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, that takana was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Papa Omer, Rav Papa says the ninth takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Kerem Ravai. The Tanya we learned in a brisa. It's actually a Mishnah. The Mishnah says Kerem Ravai hoya oile liYerushalayim mahalach yoim lekol tzad v'zehi tchuma, which means as follows. Normally, Kerem Ravai, these grapes of the fourth year of the tree of the vine. One was allowed to redeem it if it's complicated, if it's heavy, or you can't be bothered carrying the grapes to Yerushalayim. You can redeem it, you can sell it, and the money you get for it, you can then take to Yerushalayim and you buy food with it there, as we do with Maaseh Sheni. However, there was a takana that in a day's walk around Yerushalayim, mahalach yoim lekol tzad, one day's walk all the way around, one's not allowed to redeem them. You have to take the fruits themselves to Yerushalayim. V'zut chuma, where the boundaries of a day's walk around Yerushalayim, Eilas min hatzofein, the place called Eilas in the north, others say it should say Dorim, v'akeres min adorim, and the place called Akeres in the south, Lud min Amayrev, in the west it was the town of Lud, v'yardin min Amizrach, and in the east it's the Jordan, the Yardin. V'oma Ula v'itayma Rabba Ba'ula. And Ula and Rabba Ba'ula, one of them said, Omer Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ma tam, why did they make this gezeira that a day's walk round Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to redeem the fruits, you have to take them to Yerushalayim? Kidei la'atir shukei Yerushalayim b'peiros, in order to adorn the marketplaces in Yerushalayim with the beautiful fruits. And therefore they said, if you're that close, don't redeem them, bring the fruits to Yerushalayim. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Kerem Ravai Hoyoloi Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, he had Kerem Ravai, he had some grapes on the fourth year, but Mizrach Lud, further Mizrach, further east than Lud, which means he was within a day's distance. But Tzad Kfar Tovi, near to the place of Kfar Tovi. Ubikesh Rabbi Eliezer Lafkiro Elanim. Rabbi Eliezer didn't have the strength or didn't want to take them to Yerushalayim. He says, I've got a good idea. I'll make it Hefka for the Anim. I'll let the poor people come and take it, and they'll take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Omruloi Talmidov, the disciples, the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, said to him, Rabbi, Kvar Nimne Chavircha Olov, your friend has already voted about this, Vehitiruah, since the Beis HaMikdash has already been destroyed, they said that it doesn't matter. You do no longer have to take it to Yerushalayim in its original state. You're allowed to redeem them even if you're within a day's distance from Yerushalayim. Man chaverecha, who are the friends of Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Papa assumed that this gezeira here, this that they said, that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you no longer have to take the fruits themselves to Yerushalayim, you can take the money that you've sold them for to Yerushalayim instead, or you can redeem them on money and take it to Yerushalayim. They assumed it was, who was the friend of Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Says Rav Papa, this was the gezeira of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that they were after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was no reason to adorn the marketplaces of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was in ruins, there were strangers there, and therefore they were allowed to redeem the coins and take the coins to Yerushalayim. Rav Nachman Beitzchok says no. We'll soon see why he assumed that the Chaverov of Rabbi Eliezer that voted and came to the conclusion that you didn't need to take the fruits themselves, why it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But Rav Nachman Yitzchok assumed that it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he says the ninth takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was regarding the Loshen Shel Zohiris, this strip of red wool. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, in Maseches Yuma. But Rishoino at first, Hoyu Koishrin Loshen Shel Zohiris, they would tie a strip of red wool El Pesach Ulam Mibachutz, on the outside of the entrance going into the antechamber, into the Ulam, which was the entranceway into the Heichal. And Hilbin, in some years, this red thread, this strip of wool, would turn white when the goat was pushed over the mountain. Hoyu Smeichin, they rejoiced. Loi Hilbin, Hoyuatsevin. And if it didn't become white, they would be despondent. And since there was an issue with that, they didn't want the moods of Klal Yisrael to be dependent on the thread turning white or staying red. And there's a discussion in the Mefarshim whether the issue was complacency when it's going to turn white that they won't continue doing tshuva, or whether they'll give up doing tshuva if they see it didn't turn white. Either way, it was not a good idea for Klal Yisrael to be aware of what was going on in heaven, what was going on with this thread. And therefore, Hiskinu, they made a takona, Shehiyu Koshin Oisi al Pesach Ulam Mibifnim. They will tie the thread on the inside of the entrance of the Ulam in the hope that people wouldn't see the thread. Vadayin Oyu Matzitzim Veroim. There was still some way that they could peek in and see what the situation with the thread was. And again, Hil bin Hoyu Smechim, if it got white, they were rejoicing. Loyil bin Hoyu Atzevim, they were despondent if it didn't. And therefore, Hiskinu, we don't know who this Hiskinu is, but Rav Nachum Bitzchok assumes that this was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, that Hiskinu Sheyu Koshin Oisoi, that they would take the whole strip of wool and give it to the person going to the Azazel mountain with the goat. Take this strip of wool with you, we don't want it here in the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdosh. Chetzioi, the basela, cut it into two. Half of it you should tie. Koshinoisi chetzi basela. Half they would tie on the rock. Vechetzi bein karonov and tie half of the thread between the horns of the goat. Shel soira mishtaleach on the horns of the goat that you're going to throw over the mountain, and then that thread far away from the Beis HaMikdosh would either turn white or stay red. And the Gemara in Yuma discusses why he didn't tie the whole thing on the rock or why he didn't tie the whole thing onto the goat. Either way, this was a Hiskinu, which Rav Nachman Beit Zok assumes was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Nachman Beit Zok, my time alomaker of Papa. Why didn't Rav Nachman Beit Zok assume that the friend of Rabbi Eliezer, as Rav Papa said, who said that the Kerem Ravai does not need to be taken to Yerushalayim, it can be redeemed, why did he not assume that was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? This answers the Gemara Omalacha, because Rav Nachman Beit Zok will say, Yisal Kedaitoch Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because if those friends of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that were quoted in the Braisa before, or the Mishnah before, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Chaver of Rabbi Eliezer, could you call Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a friend, a colleague of Rabbi Eliezer? Mihava, was that what he was? Rabbi Hava, he was actually the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer. So his Talmidim wouldn't have said to him, Kvar nimnu chaverecha olo vehitiru, if it was referring to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it must have been somebody else, not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Vidach, however, if Papa will maintain, no. Kiven de Talmidim havu, since it was the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer that was speaking to him, lavoirech ara, it wasn't appropriate lemeimarle to say le rabbi to their Rebbe Rabbi Eliezer, Rabcha, your Rebbe made a takona and said it was okay. So they referred to their Rebbe's Rebbe, who indeed was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as chavirecha, as a colleague of his. But indeed it was the Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe, and indeed according to Rav Papa it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and that's why Rav Papa says that the ninth takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Kerem Ravai. The question is, Rav Papa, my tam alo amak Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Why is Rav Papa not agreeing with what Rav Nachman by Yitzchok said, that the takona regarding not keeping the string of this piece of wool in the Beis HaMikdosh was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Omalacha. Because Rav Papa will say to you, Yisal Kedaitoch Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because he says that it doesn't make sense, because we know that these takonas were made. When did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai make takonas? He made takonas also after the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, as we've already seen. He also lived during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, but we know that only the last 40 years of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's life he was teaching Torah. And we also know that the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdosh, this thread of wool never ever, this strip of wool never turned white. And the whole takona that Rav Nachman Beit Zok mentioned was that sometimes it would whiten, sometimes it wouldn't whiten, and Klal Yisrael would either rejoice or they would be despondent. The last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdosh, that never happened. So the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdosh, which must correspond somewhat to the last 40 years of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, then in those years he wouldn't have made such a gezeira because it wasn't applicable. There was no strip of red wool that ever turned white. That's the question.
Now let's see this inside. Yisal k'day to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, b'mei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mihava loshen shel zohiris, was that this strip of red wool, did it ever turn white in the years of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when he was teaching and making decrees? V'otani we learned in a braisa, kol shnoisav shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mei ve'esrim shono. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived all of 120 years. Mem shono osek b'prakmatio, 40 years primarily he was engaged in business. Mem shono lomad, for 40 years he was learning. Mem shono, the last 40 years of his life, limed, he was teaching. V'tanya, we also learned in a braisa, mem shono koidim shenechar v'bayis, the last 40 years before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, loy hoya loshen shel zohiris malbin, elomadim, this strip of red wool never became white. It either stayed red or became a bit redder, but either way, it never turned white. So this gezeira that we're talking about, hiskinu shu koshenoise chetzei basela v'chetzei bin karnov, they wouldn't have made that gezeira during the last 40 years. But none we learned in the Mishnah, that Mishachor HaBeis HaMikdosh Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's was teaching still after the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, which means that the last 40 years of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's life started less than 40 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdosh. And in those 40 years, there was never a strip of wool that ever turned white. So he wouldn't have made this gezeira. And therefore, Rav Papa said, Loshen Shel Zohiris couldn't have been Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'idoch, however, if Nachum Ba'Yitzchak says, I hear what your calculation is, nonetheless, it could still have been Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Because Oysam Arboim Shono Delomad, the 40 years before the last 40 years, that his middle 40 years, which is the time which was going back to 80 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, indeed he wasn't teaching. But then there was the strip of wool that was becoming white. And indeed he wasn't yet a teacher. Talmud Yoshev Lifnei Rabbi Hava. He was sitting like a Talmud before his Rebbe. V'Omar Milstein, he just, by the way, mentioned to his Rebbe, there might be room to send this strip of wool away from the Beis HaMikdosh, because if it becomes white, they'll rejoice. If it stays red, they'll be despondent. And he just said it not as a takona, because he wasn't yet teaching Torah, he wasn't yet making takonas, but he said it to his Rebbe. V'stabir taimei, and his Rebbe felt that his reasoning was sound. V'kovei Rabbi Bishmei, and his Rebbe then made this decree. So v'hiskinu wasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself, it was his Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But it was made Bishmei in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because it was inspired by the Talmud Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and hence, according to Rav Papa, according to Nachum Ba'Yitzchak, this was the ninth takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which was Loshen Shel Zohiris. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.